Psalm 99 tonight. Psalm 99, we'll look at two verses. In verse 5, it says, "Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at His footstool, for He is holy." Let's read that again. "Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at His footstool, for He is holy." Look at verse 9. "Exalt the Lord our God, and worship at His holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy." Let's pray. Lord, thank You for tonight. God, thank You for who You are. And God, I believe our understanding of who You are parallels our worship. And God, I pray that tonight we'd get a good handle on who You are, that we might be able to worship You in a pure heart and a wholehearted. God, help us with these things. And God, remind us again through Your word of just who it is that we're singing praises to tonight. Lord, we love You and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to look at a topic tonight that we have visited before. This exact message, but the topic certainly we visited before. But truly, can we, as we talk about the importance of worship in our own heart and in our own life, could we truly talk about that enough? Why do we worship? We're reminded in Psalm 99 and verse 5, "Exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at His footstool, for He is holy," it says. Why do I worship God? Well, I worship God because He's holy. I lift His name up in praise and in song, and we'll look at a couple other areas, but I really want to focus in on praise tonight. But we lift up His name in song and in praise because He's holy. God has an attribute that nothing else has, and yet we all desire. The Bible tells us to be holy, for I am holy. God says, because I'm holy and you're My child, you ought to at least endeavor or have some sort of desire towards holiness. So as I look up into the heavens and as I look up into the throne of God and as I open up Isaiah chapter 6 and the words jump off the page and I in my mind get a visualization of what I feel like the throne is, and God and His eternity is seated upon this thing, and His magnitude and His magnificence. We've talked about that. And then I look at that and what is my response to that? And the Bible says, "Exalt the Lord our God." Could our failure to exalt God is because we don't see it? Because we've seen examples of men that have seen the glories of God and, woe is me, I am undone. Ezekiel is trying to describe it and he can't put it to words. Why do we worship God? Why do we exalt His name? Why do we lift it up? Why do we take such a measure of our service and just singing? Ever wonder why we do what we do? Why do we sing those songs? Because He's holy. And we want to exalt Him as much as we possibly can. And one opportunity for the congregation to get involved in worship is by song. Because He's holy. Look at Psalm 138. Psalm 138 and verse 2. Look at verse 2, yeah. Psalm 138, verse 2, "I will worship today Thy holy temple and praise Thy name." Look at this. "And praise Thy name for Thy loving kindness and for Thy truth. For Thou hast magnified Thy word above all Thy name." He says, I will worship toward Thy holy temple and I will praise Thy name, not just because He's holy, but because He's kind and loving to us. You know, we sing those songs and we as we go through the hymnal, and you know, this morning we sang Victory in Jesus. I do believe we've sung that song before. It's one of Brother Rice's favorite songs. And as song leader, he has the opportunity to sing it multiple times. And we start singing that. May that song never get old to us. May the songs of Zion never get mundane. And we certainly try to bring different songs out or whatever. But truly, if we sang Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. Hey, we're singing about His loving kindness. We're singing, what else does it say in verse 2? Not only for His loving kindness, but for Thy truth. I exalt the name of God and His righteousness and His holiness and His loving kindness and His truth. So if there's a failure of worship in my heart and in my life towards God, it's got to be because I don't see His holiness. It's got to be because I don't remember the loving kindness. Because if I start thinking about that for but a moment, I'm not trying to create a false sense of emotion. But you start thinking about sin and the consequence of sin and God's grace and mercy in your life. And one of the ways that you can praise His name is to sing songs about what He is to you. And it ought to be overwhelming. There ought to be some time as you're singing about it and it gets real in your heart and in your mind where there might just not be some words there. Because it's just too much. I will worship toward Thy holy temple and praise Thy name for Thy loving kindness and for Thy truth. For Thou hast magnified Thy word above all Thy name. I had my message prepared this afternoon. I had a few minutes, sat down and just was looking over some things. And I was looking up some verses, additional verses on worship. And one reference came, Psalm 127 through Psalm 150. All right. God talks a lot about worship. It ought to be an important part of our life that we could worship God. We're commanded to. Look at Matthew chapter 4. I believe Brother Bauman was in Matthew chapter 4 a little bit this morning. Is that correct? Matthew chapter 4. Heard it was an excellent lesson. Some of you were in Sunday school today with Mr. Bauman. Excellent. You were there? Other Sunday school. Little kids are up front raising their hand. We were there. Who preached junior church today? Great. Appreciate that. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 9. And He saith unto him, now who's talking? Jesus is talking to who? The devil. And He saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt... this is Satan talking to Christ. All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And Jesus saith unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. Why do I worship? Because Jesus commanded me to. For worship to truly work as how it is designed, there's some preparation that has to happen in my life. Worship is an expression of gratitude, is an expression of our response to God and His holiness, and it comes from the heart. It comes from the heart. So if we have sin in our heart, you know what's going to be hindered? Our worship. We can't worship in the way that we ought to when things aren't right on the inside. Oh, sure, we can open up the book and we might sing all the notes right. We might even sing our favorite song and it might even put a smile on our face. But God can look way past the notes. He can look way past even the words that are coming out of our mouth, and He'll look down inside our heart and say, is this truly worship? Is He really singing to me? Is she really exalting my name? Is she really thinking about my loving kindness? Is He really thinking about my holiness? Why do we worship? We worship because He's holy. We worship because He's loving and kind. We worship because He's true. We worship because we're commanded to. Psalm chapter 5. Psalm chapter 5 tonight. One of the little people asked me tonight, Pastor, is it going to be a long message or a short message? I'll let you know when we finish. I don't know. Psalm chapter 5 and verse 7. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy. And in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. How do we worship? You understand who we're approaching here. We're approaching the God of heaven, the creator of it all. I saw something, I think it was last week. A preacher that maybe would show up at maybe a meeting that we would go to. I think he's the pastor of Cleveland Baptist Church. Was sitting in a limousine with the President of the United States, had the opportunity. He's friends with the governor of Ohio, and I think the governor invited this pastor to sit down and drive around in the Beast. I don't know why it's called the Beast. Kind of strange if you think about it. With the President, though. You know, you're prepared in your mind for what you're going to talk about. You're not showing up in jeans and a t-shirt that day. You're getting shirts pressed. You might even buy a new suit, new tie, I Love America, Make America Great Again pin, something. Keep America Great, I don't know what his new slogan is. And there you are, and as much as you might talk from the pulpit or amongst friends, if I ever had an opportunity to talk to them, and then you're standing face to face. Then you're sitting across, and the men with automatic weapons underneath their coat are on the outside. And you have an opportunity to talk to the President of the United States. Drive around. Oh, you're going to be calculating what you say. You're going to be careful. You're going to be careful not to offend. What's it like to worship God? The Bible tells us that we ought to have a fear about it. Not afraid, but to reverence His name. We don't throw the name of God around like our buddy's name. He's God of heaven. And we exalt Him. The Bible tells us in John chapter 4, and verse 23 and verse 24, that we're to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. See, there's a separation there. Oh, call on me to sing. I'm a great singer. I'll do a great job. I'm probably the best of my friends. I have the best voice out of everybody. You know what it just said? And have no confidence in the flesh. Hey, we worship in spirit. How's your walk with the Lord? That'll dictate how our worship is. Psalm 95. Go to Psalm 95. Psalm 95. Look at these great verses. Psalm 95. Look at verse 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Does that mean we actually physically kneel down when we worship and praise His name? You can. Brother Seatman preached a little while ago about, you know, clapping a little bit, raising a hand here and there. Say, kneeling? Whew, that's a... How about in your heart? How about in your heart that you would kneel before the Lord? That means I'm going to lift Him higher than me. That means what He wants is more important than what I want. Kind of like what we talked about this morning. That God's ways are higher than my ways. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. How do we worship the Lord? In fear and in spirit and humility. I want to draw your attention to Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, and in Him will I trust. Here, what does it say? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Here's that humility. It lowers me. It brings me down. Say, does that think less of anybody? No. No, not at all. It just exalts God. You understand that us and God are not the same level. There ought to be a humility about us. We ought to worship wholeheartedly. In Joshua chapter 5, let's look there. Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5 and verse 13. Joshua is getting ready for battle. He's about to go take out Jericho, and he's been given some instructions, and he's getting ready for that, and he hasn't taken on the conquest, but he's getting ready. In verse chapter 5 and verse 13, it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? So, kind of strange. A man drawn or with a sword drawn, and he approaches him. And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth, and look at what it says, and did worship. And said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto him, Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. The Bible says that he worshipped. What did he do? He dropped his face right to the ground. In Job chapter 1, and verse 20, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. And what does he do? Does he sing a song? No, he actually talks to God. He prays here. Hey, we can worship God through prayer. Fearfully, in the Spirit, with humility, wholeheartedly. That's how we can talk to the Lord. That's how we ought to talk to God. Yes, we can worship in song, but we can also worship in prayer. You know, the very first occurrence of the word worship shows up in Genesis chapter 22, where Abraham goes to slay his son Isaac. He says, we go up to the mountain to worship. And what is he about to do? He's about to make a sacrifice. God is worshipped through our sacrifice. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And then we'll get to the songs and praise. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Look at verse 20. And David said to all the congregation, "Now bless the Lord your God," and all the congregation bless the Lord God of their fathers, and bow down their heads and worship the Lord and the king, and they sacrifice sacrifices unto the Lord. How do they worship? By making sacrifice. And offered burnt offerings unto the Lord on the morrow after that day. Even 1,000 bullocks and 1,000 rams and 1,000 lambs. And their drink offerings and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel. They worship by sacrifice. When we sacrifice for the Lord, God says, "I'm pleased with that." Because what does that do? That puts God higher than our own personal wants and desires. Lastly, 2 Chronicles chapter 29. 2 Chronicles 29 and verse 26. 2 Chronicles 29:26 says, "And the Levites stood with instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets. And Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar." There we see the sacrifice. "And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began, also with the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. And all the congregation worshipped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded, and all of this continued until the burnt offering was finished." Verse 29, "And when they had made an end of the offering, the king and all that were present with him bowed themselves and worshipped." Here we see worship through praise with instruments and songs. Say, what's the deal with all that over there? Just trying to do our best to match this. Thankful for Nathan and his trumpet. Ephesians chapter 5 tonight. Ephesians chapter 5. God has a lot to say about worship, and I just want to remind us that we need to make a big deal about it. The big deal is not that we crank up the mics, and not that we... but that our heart is right. Because right hearts produce right worship. Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, "Speaking yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." What happens if your heart is cold? Well, you're not going to sing as well. You're not going to do as well. You're not going to make melody in your heart. When my kids are in trouble or someone's in trouble, they're not usually singing through the house. Why? Because their heart's wrong. Hey, when our heart isn't right with God, when our heart is off with the Lord, you know what? We're not walking around singing and making melody in our hearts. You can't. Because the foundation, the center of worship is coming from the heart. Our mouth just opens and lets out what's in our heart. In James chapter 5, I like this verse, James chapter 5, verse 13. James 5:13 says, "Is there any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms." Hey, it's evident of what's going on. You know, there's windows into our soul. I can't quite see Nathaniel's soul. I'm not sure if he has one. I'm pretty sure he does. But there's windows into our soul. Say, how so? There's things that happen or that we do on the outside that reveals what's going on the inside. There's things about our music. Hey, when we're listening to a certain type of music, it just shows us where our heart is. when the things that we desire to watch or the things that we say out of our mouth, hey, if you're constantly saying, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that, all it is evidence of what's on the inside. We have the blessing of spending a bunch of time with the Williams, and when you talk about him because he's not here tonight, and when he first came around with Ashley, a little nervous, you know, who's interested in Miss Ashley? So we kindly invited them over to grill, to see. And after years of talking with them, I guess we okayed it. But he said this, he said, you know what? I used to have a really hard time with my mouth. He said, I didn't do alcohol, I didn't smoke, I didn't do any of that, but man, I'd curse all the time. Until God got a hold of my heart. He said at junior camp, when he was a camper, when he went and helped, there was a message there, and it really touched his heart. And as he drew closer to God, you know what happened? It changed from the inside out. Now he says he doesn't have, it's not like it slips out. Because what's on the inside comes out. So when our heart is closely knit to God, what comes out? Spirit-filled worship. When it's not, what comes out? Not spirit-filled worship. They say that sports do not build character. They simply reveal it. It's just a window into who you are. Because you put someone into a high-pressure, physical, demanding situation, what's on the inside comes out. Say, I don't like what's on the inside. Change what's on the inside then. And you'll like better what comes out. Say, I want to worship. I want to worship in spirit and in truth. Then filter what goes in. But most importantly, fix your heart with the Lord. Psalm 103. Two more verses. Psalm 103. And verse 2. Psalm 103, verse 2, it says this, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. If we started on this side of the room and went across to this side and said, okay, tell me the benefit of being a Christian, we would not be able to exhaust that list. Yes? All the benefits of being a Christian are inexhaustible. There's so many intangibles even. Just this past weekend, right? We went through, Rice family was going through a tough time. And how many times do we see the benefits of God just being poured out in our life? Intangible things. You pray, I have an opportunity to talk to, his name is Steve, Brother Turner's neighbor and friend for 75 years. He says, I knew a lot of the verses that you said today. This is what he said yesterday. But I'm not sure I know about them all. Oh. Gave me his name. Mrs. Dickinson was on it. She got his address, phone number, social. Medical records. It's a thick file. Set up an appointment for us, he's ready to, he's like, can you talk with my wife too? Yes, yeah, we could do that. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Only God does things like that. And if we took all the the Bible tells us, let's not forget all the benefits. That's why we sing those things over and over again. So we don't forget about it. That's why we talk about these things over and over. That's why we lift praise to God, that we never forget what He means to us.
Lastly, 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2 Samuel chapter 22. Look at verse 50. 2 Samuel 22:50. Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. He says this, therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen. Hey, do you understand that when we worship how we ought to, the heathen see it, and it's a testimony of who you are. Our praise and our worship is testimony to what God has done. Some of you are going to go back to work this week, and maybe on Tuesday. Some of you have off tomorrow. Some of you have to work tomorrow. But some will go back on Monday or Tuesday, and you have someone that you sit next to, and they'll ask you those questions of, hey, how was your weekend? That was good. Nothing special. Nothing special. Missed an opportunity to praise the Lord. Let's make sure that we're taking that we're praising God and giving thanks among the heathen. Our praise of God among the heathen will be a testimony of what God has done. So let's ask the question tonight, do we truly worship the Lord? What worship really is, it's just recognizing God for who He is and giving Him what is due Him. To grow as a Christian, we need to recognize who God is in worship. You know, the Bible tells us to grow in grace. 2 Peter chapter, I think it's 3:18. Grow in grace. So is your heart one that can worship the Lord? Or is there something in the way? Is there something blocking? Is there something hindering? It's not just singing it out loud. It's singing it with a right heart. Let's all stand up. Let's do this tonight. Let's take a few minutes. We'll have a time of invitation. Maybe there's something that the Lord talked to you about of, hey, you got to fix this. And then we have written into the thing tonight an opportunity to maybe worship a little bit. Sing a couple more songs tonight. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for who you are. God, I pray that we would worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, I pray that you would Lord, I pray that you'd help us, that we would see ourselves for who we are and see you for who you are. And Lord, we'd make the adjustments where necessary. God, help us with these things. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here today and maybe consider your own heart before the Lord? Maybe there's something in your life that needs to be adjusted.